The meeting is called to order. We've been asked to review, the Economic Development Committee's been asked to review the TIP policy, and we created a subcommittee to do that, and this is the first meeting of this committee. So, and we've got a couple speakers, a couple people signed to speak. What I'd like to do first is to see if there are any recusals that any of us have on this, Ed, or pick here myself. I'm not aware of any.
Okay. What I wanted to just let you know was that my employment status has changed, and that while I have been retired for a number of months, Madison College invited me back on a part-time basis to do community stuff that I've been doing. Workforce Development Board, FPMI, and EDC. So I am kind of representing the college in that sense, but they have no position on the policy per se.
Okay, thank you.
They might have positions on individual.
How does that affect some of these meetings you want to schedule in?
Doesn't.
Okay.
I mean, I'm free mostly in the afternoons.
Okay.
Best time.
Okay. All right. Well, with that, we have a couple speakers. Why don't we take the speakers first and hear what they have to say, and then let's chat. Our goal today, I hope, is to set up a series of meetings, dates and times, and subject matter at those meetings, as well as people we'd like to invite in to those meetings to speak, be it from city or other agencies and individuals, public citizens, and so forth. And to end up by the end of the year, early next year, with a proposed set of revisions to the TIP policy. So that's our goal today. I guess we have a third speaker. Okay, so with that, Kevin, you've registered to speak. Kevin's here on behalf of the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
Well, let's say 5 minutes.
I'll keep it under five. And especially since I wasn't sure if this was the first meeting to do exactly what you said, just talk through the process or get into the meat, but if it was the latter, I wanted to be sure to weigh in early and offer a little bit of encouragement. Really glad that this review's taking place. I think the last time that this was looked at and took a little while to do, I think it was recommended that this be reviewed regularly, which makes a lot of sense to make sure that it's effective. And I'm glad the mayor chose this committee too, because TIP is one of the most important economic development tools that municipalities have when looking at expanding the tax base and development. So I just first want to compliment staff. I think that there was clearly a lot of work that went into gathering that information and the analysis to provide a lot of context to this issue. I think it really showed that the city has been effective at TIF, but certainly cautious with the approach and use. There's reason for that. I think that the city needs to be mindful and respectful of the public's interest, and there's always going to be risk with investment. I think even when you take a cautious approach, but looking at this issue now, I think it does bear the question of can the city be using TIP more? The chamber thinks they can. I think the mayor used the word competitive a lot. Whether people like it or not, TIP is used as an incentive in many communities. And I think if you want to make TIF more competitive in this community, there are certain ways to look at the policy to do that. And Aaron laid out a lot of the issues, and I would agree with that. But the biggest one, I think, is that equity participation payment. I think the mayor said that it puts the city at a disadvantage. Staff rightfully says it is the most loathed, but also the least important to the city's return. So I think if you want to make TIP more attractive, I think that's definitely a place that I would take a hard look at, and I agree with the staff's recommendation is to remove that from the policy. I also think the 50% rule is definitely something that should be looked at. I think there are some interesting options that Aaron laid out at the last meeting. I understand why the 50% rule was included in the policy to begin with, that when you're going through the process, you want to have information to assess the city's risk. I'm just not sure the 50% rule really does that accurately for each project. So I know there are going to be many more meetings to come. I just wanted to weigh in early. I'm very supportive of this review, and we're going to provide more outreach to our members too. And we'll certainly convey the outcome of those conversations at future meetings. So, thank you.
Can we ask questions, right? I have a couple questions. Kevin, what role in this process do you believe the chamber is going to take? Are you going to comment on I think we have a series of things. Aaron, in his report last time, said there were five or six things that you think ought to be primarily addressed. Are you going to weigh in on those?
Yeah, I mean, I just did on a couple of the big ones. I mean, certainly there's going to be more conversations about different options, and we'll be having discussions with, you know, internally in our organization as well to provide constructive feedback on that. But I think, generally speaking, we support the efforts to really look at this policy and find ways to make sure that it is competitive and used to its full advantage.
Okay. That was just my question. Others? Any questions? Okay. Kevin, thanks.
Thanks.
Eric? Eric Paulson, I think he's here probably representing himself, correct, Eric?
Yes. So I will start off by saying that there are people who are in this, and so we typically schedule meetings 10:30 in the morning. It's not ideal for a lot of the community members who do want to participate. I realize that this is like getting started meeting, but I was on an email exchange with a couple people who said, darn, I can't make it. Is someone going to keep people up in? So I think the time, you know, in the future, please try and make it in the afternoon.
Can I interrupt you?
Sure.
To respond. The meeting times we're looking for are late afternoons, 3:00, 4:00, to deal with some personal time issues for the three committee members and, frankly, staff from the city who have so many evening meetings that to find dates was tough. So that's kind of what we're looking at.
Right.
3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, something like that for a couple hours. That's what we're looking
right.
at.
Right. That's a tension that's going to be in every meeting, but remember that it's the daytime meetings are easier on staff and are easier on organizations that have staff on this on behalf of them. It's tougher on people who don't have that.
Understood.
Whatever you can do to...
We think some of the bigger community ones will be in evenings. I mean, we understand that has to happen.
Right. So, okay, but on to what I really wanted to talk about, which was to think about how this process should work. And I actually would like to urge you to go back to the full EDC and say, we need a little more time. And I'd like you to think about taking this a little slower. And I would use some of the lessons, I think, that came out of the review process as instructive here. And I think what you should do is separate this into two parts. I think you should spend part one doing some information gathering and trying to write sort of an internal report. You think of it as kind of the backstory. If you're writing a novel, you always write a bunch of backstory before you actually write your novel so you know kind of what you're writing from so you can keep the characters consistent. And I think it would be helpful to do some backstory gathering and produce that in this report. You don't need to refer that to 18 different committees for approval. You can write that and get that out there and get that information out there. But I think it would be interesting to be able to say, you know, here's what we're hearing from this community, here's what we're hearing from that community, here's what we're hearing from staff. Let's try to, that sort of an information. As an example, go back to the previous process, like the 60-day demolition notice. Some people would tell you, this is really important, here's why it's really important. Some people would tell you, no, this just slows us down. And you know, if you have that, there's a bad investigation of that. And as you're producing that report, you can come out and say, well, you know, here's what we found in the 60-day notification. That was hardly, you know, some people tell us that it was critical. It turns out that it was hardly ever used. Some people told us that it's trivial, and it turns out it's used an awful lot. So by putting this kind of out there as one set of information, it's easier to react to that in the abstract without value judgments associated with it. I think you'll get a fair response. I think you had trouble as you're trying to write a report, as you're trying to assimilate information and do recommendations at the same time. You're trying to evaluate information as what is the best way to move forward. And I think by separating it out, you'll get a better result. Now,
can I ask,
yes.
When you say last time, do you mean the last time the TIF was reviewed?
No, I mean, I'm sorry, the development review process.
All right, I want to make sure I know what last time you're referring to.
Yeah, I was very late to the TIF review process last time.
Okay.
I sent you a little bit of information, but it was a very, final. So the downside to that is it does take more time. And I sent the mayor some email. I was hoping he might be here today, but I don't know, maybe. It depends on, you know, what the goal is. Aaron, a lot of your presentation talked about the competitiveness and, more importantly, the sort of fiscal cliff that the city's facing, the gap that's coming up in the 2017-2018 timeframe from the huge debt service and the mayor's goal to reduce that. What we talked about was that, you know, if we had been growing at the same rate, how much smaller that gap would be in future years. And it wasn't clear if a big part of the mayor's impetus for this is to try and accelerate growth to be a real effect, to start trying to close that gap in future years where I think he sees real trouble around the end of the decade, beginning of the next decade. And so, you know, perhaps there really is a time for, you know, a serious time limit. We really do need to get shovels on the ground in 2013 to really have an impact there. At the same time, it's you know, difficult because that money will be tied up in the TIF districts for the foreseeable future anyway. So it's if you're not under serious time pressure, take a little bit longer. If you are under serious time pressure, then you know, you would need to move a little quicker. But figure out if you're under serious time pressure. I don't think you know if you're under serious time pressure. Do you need to have this done by 2015? TIF policy is going to affect us for the next 10, 15, 20 years. And that sort of stuff, it was slightly longer processes around me here, and no one will ever remember. So I guess that's my main thing is to two halves of the process will get you a better result, and we will argue about facts first, and then we'll argue about process instead of trying to do it at the same time.
Questions of Eric, do you think if we were to accept your premise that we need more background information, so I'm hearing from you, where would it come from?
I think it comes from the community. It comes from the Chamber and Smart Growth and a couple of the other organizations I'm sure will come in. I think there'll be some people in the community who are interested in coming forward who aren't representing organizations. I think it comes from, I think there are people that we should be asking, we should get more information from the mayor who loves to share things and share his theories of how things work. I think staff has a really important role to try and vet some of that information. I think you guys are going to have some information that you'd like to really look into, particularly some of the other goals of TIF related to job creation. You know, what can we say about how effective were those projects? You know, that will take some time, so staff's going to need to come up with some of that so we can say, is job creation a goal of TIF? You know, how well has that worked?
So let me ask you another question. At the prior presentation, Aaron went through some priority issues as he looked at it and the staff came together on them. There were five of them. And my question is, if we just for hypothetically stick to those five for now, mm-hmm. and ask people to come up with information to respond to those five and go through those five, either with them or not, does that accomplish it as well? Or are you saying these aren't the proper five priorities? We need to do more due diligence to come to what the priorities are in terms of altering the current policy?
I think the latter. I think we should look a little more closely. Okay. I think that there are, so the five biggest priorities, what do we need to do to make TIF more competitive? Right. Is TIF really being more competitive what we really need to be doing? So we want to make TIF more competitive. Okay, well, we should get rid of the 50% goal. Right? That will make more people use TIF. The equity participation goal. Right? We keep hearing that will make more people use TIF. That may be, but, you know, should we really be instead encouraging more people to, is that an important goal? Making sure that TIF is in support of the job creation goals that are part of the policy right now, important goal. And if so, is eliminating the equity participation really going to impact that goal there? Yeah. So,
can I ask another question? Do you disagree with the premise articulated in the materials that Aaron assembled and discussed that we have fallen behind our neighbors in terms of growth in the community?
I don't disagree with his numbers. I disagree with the premise. And it's not that...
Wait a second. What's the premise? I want to be specifically, what premise do you disagree with?
It's not an apples comparison. It's not fair to compare TIF's, the growth rate of Verona, which was so small to begin with, You need to normalize it properly. You can't, and growth rate is the wrong thing to normalize here because the outlying communities were so small and were so greenfield and had a couple, and they flipped out some big box stores and a few projects make a big difference. And so when we get upset about
it. We understand that. So you're saying the premise that we're not growing proportionately, if you will, to our current community may not be right.
I don't know that we could ever grow proportionally to them.
I understand that. Other questions anybody have? Vicki or Ed? Okay. Eric, thank you. You can go back to your PhD now.
No, I'm going to stick around here for a little while.
Okay. Gary? Gary, representing yourself?
Yep.
I am. That's a burden, Gary. Gary, that's a healthy burden there to represent yourself.
Yeah. Because EMI does have subcommittees.
Okay.
And I'm on that subcommittee that I'm representing.
At this point.
Okay.
All right.
Maybe even in that idea.
Okay.
Well, that took care of my first thing. I would like to be one of your speakers. I'd like to have more than an extended conversation when we really talk this out a little bit more and hear a little bit further into it. I think that there's two or three things, depending on how you count them, that we really need to work on. And one is that the policy has to complain and has to convey a positive attitude. And certainly the existing TIF policy doesn't do that, and I would make the argument that even some of the proposed changes are not really conveying a positive attitude, and I think we can take a look at it and come at it from the other side. The second thing is there's just way too many regulations. You got to start with the state law and build on that. That's just a policy. Reduce that.
So are you suggesting starting over?
Yeah. And really, umpteen communities work with the state law. That's their TIF policy. And so we're special and we got to have some rules and whatever, but we don't need to, have as many as we do. And then the third thing, when we're doing this, is that I think that we need to educate ourselves on putting the majority viewpoint in the proper perspective. It's been given way too much power. The power that the statute doesn't begin to give it. And this is the only, and I've been to a number of joint review board meetings, and this is the only one that I've ever heard talk about things that talk about. Other people go in there with the attitude that it's but for, and that's why I'm here, and that's what we're going to talk about. Not whether the city of Madison has enough public access on making the building. There's nothing in the statute that gives anyone any authority to discuss that at the joint review board. And there's a lot of other things there. So I guess that'd be my 3 points.
So are you prepared then to give extended comments? Is that your first point?
Yeah.
Like give extended comments on this.
Yeah.
What I was hoping to get to, Gary, in part was that if we got to some items that we wanted to cover, that there would be prepared remarks that people could disseminate so we could read them. In addition to the oral presentation, are you amenable to that?
Sure. Joint review board ones are already written.
Okay.
And I can write other ones down.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead, Vicki. I'm sorry.
Can you say a little more, Gary, about what you mean by positive attitude and how you think the current TIF policy doesn't work? I guess I'm not really sure how policy conveys an attitude in that sense. I mean, it's a set of guidelines and rules and standards.
Well, I think they're written in a way that, without question, the developer's out there to screw us. And we got to make sure that the rules we come up with make sure that he doesn't. To me, there's a number of them. The P people that we need to build our assessed value are all bad guys, I can't fathom. So there was one developer that wanted some money for some condominiums, and he wouldn't comply with what were very reasonable requests by the city, and found his funding somewhere, somehow makes it that, God, if we had given him any money, he would have screwed us for sure. There's a number of places that I'd be glad to go.
Yeah, I think if you, since you made that sort of one of your central points, it might be helpful for our future meetings if you wanted to list those. If you think there are specific things in the policy, in the current, you know, the current standards that we're operating by that are sort of portraying this negative attitude, that would be helpful to have those identified. Because I do think there's a distinction that's come up in our conversations certainly before in the development assessments as well about what we're trying to accomplish and how that gets conveyed and sort of interpretations and perceptions versus what the actual rules and policies actually say.
I'll give you another one. The 50-50 rule, or whether it's 40 or 60 or anything like that. You know, there's nothing in the TIF law that even begins to lean in that direction. So let's just take Mansion Hill. Without question, is blighted, but it's got extensive potential. Just if you fixed up all the blighted properties, it would increase the assessed value considerably. If we made some public improvements there, it would improve the assessed value. So I'm not referring to the Edgewater, but if we did in Mansion Hill area, and it was calculated that that development in itself would not create enough increment to pay any city expenses off, that it doesn't go, when in fact we have got this monumental, valuable area that we get all the increase in assessed value. Particularly right now where we are in the market, we're going to get increased assessed values in these properties over the next 5 years without them doing anything or much of anything. So I think that we need to look at it as a philosophy that we're going in, that we're going in to really fix up an area, not just approve one project.
Other questions? One thing, Gary, I appreciate. My sense is sometimes, help me if I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, because oftentimes it's a cumulative effect of a series of regulations that makes it look bad versus a particular one or two. So I would appreciate it when you prepare your remarks. Is it the cumulative effect of a series of things, or is it a couple in particular? I mean, what is the, really drill down to what are the exact problems? Because there are going to be rules and regulations. So is it the cumulative effect of several? Is it ones in particular? I mean, what is the reason that the perception is what it is? That's what I'd like to, to know. Okay. Mark?
I have a question about your comments on the Joint Review Board. You sort of described the Joint Review Board being a little bit, at least off their mission and perhaps out of control. Is there something about current policy that you think creates that environment, or is it just the way they've operated?
The way they've operated.
I mean, the city obviously does not control the Joint Review Board.
No, but from the standpoint that they go beyond what any authority they have, and nobody calls them on it.
So what recommendations would you have, or maybe those will come
later? I think that... whoever the Joint Review Board is, what you do is you get all done with your TIF, and in your mind, you've got a buffer. And that's the first time you talk to the Joint Review Board, is after, by law, when you do your final plan. So it'll be sent to everybody, including the Joint Review Board, before you hold your public hearing. That's when they get involved in it, not before.
So you're saying that providing that information to them earlier along.
It's just to our disadvantage. We just go by the law. I mean, that's what they're there for. They're there for one narrow thing. And the reason they were even created is that there's no question that when TIF started initially in Wisconsin, it was abused. They would take a development on one end of town and they ran boundaries down either side of a rail track to the other end of town and used it to build, in those days, a fire station or a city hall or something like that. The idea got came up with a joint review board. As far as I know, we're the only ones that always stayed the past one. That basically said, you're going to have to show me that if you're going to create a TIF, that what you want the money for has something to do with that TIF. And proof.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions with Gary? Thanks for coming in. We've had a couple people join us, committee member Matt and Uncle and Jill. Thank you for coming, Jill. That closes the public commentary. I think that what we like to do then is think through how we're going to proceed as a group, as a subcommittee. And we have Aaron here until 11:30. He said he has another meeting at 11:30. So
I have to go meet with the company.
Oh, with the company. Yeah, that's good. So let's
bring in goodies.
Paper.
I want to first address Eric's comments, if I may go in that direction. Eric disagrees or suggests we ought to reevaluate the premise that we know what we have to approach and we should do more due diligence. What's the pleasure of the committee in that regard? I think that's a fair question to ask, and I think we should at least agree or disagree with that. Vicki?
Well, I think there's something sort of in between, or sort of that goes to that, maybe not quite as far as Eric would like, but I do think just starting or limiting our discussions only to the sort of five priorities that were identified by staff would be a mistake. I think those are helpful, and I think those are all certainly things we should spend a good deal of time on, but I think we should have a conversation about what else should be on that priority list, and that there's some... that list may be 10 things, it might be slightly broader than that. So I don't want us just to limit our conversation to that. And I think we should spend some time over what the current TIF goals and objectives are, and really making sure we all understand what those are, because I want to make sure that our future conversations are sort of framed with that context in mind. Are we accomplishing what current goals and objectives are or not? Are those current goals and objectives what we actually want? Or where are we right now on those goals and objectives? So I think we need to back up perhaps a little bit and not dive. I would hate to have our conversations dive straight into those five priorities and spend where we just immediately say, you know, okay, 50% rule and the equity participation and bam, 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 what do we think about each of those? I think there's a little bit of backstory. I don't know that it's months and months of backstory, but I think taking their time to do this right while understanding that there is a sense of urgency about this and that we want to have a solid policy, a solid set of recommendations done sooner rather than later should guide us. But so I don't know that I would add months to this, as Eric suggested, but I do think we need to take a little bit of time to sort of larger contextual conversation.
Ed, any thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Vicki that I'm not sure that the five that Aaron mentioned are my top five. And in fact, the one thing I want to talk about and make sure we get to is a discussion of the TIF budget, the city's TIF budget. Because we can have the best policy in the world. If there's no money in the budget, then we don't get to do anything. So it seems to me that's a bottleneck that really needs to be examined, and we need to understand what is our philosophy of putting money in the budget? What limits the budget? We commit to 10 great projects and, well, we don't have enough money. But the money's all borrowed and paid back from an external source, not the city. So we need to look at what is it that limits us. And so that's a key issue for me. I do think, though, that of the 10 or 11 items, that Aaron brought, and many of them are technical and don't require a lot of conversation. And, you know, for example, should we edit the policy? Sure, we should edit the policy. Should this group edit it? No. That would be a bad idea. So if staff wants to slim down the policy, give us an edited view, and we could take a look at it, that'd be great once all our deliberations are done. But I don't think walking through them, you know, in any detail, I think we should look at each one, suggesting and say, do we want to talk about it or not? But and then finally, to Vicki's point about the goals and objectives of the current TIF policy, I'm not sure we want to say how are we doing on that or not, because I'm not sure that's where we want to go. I'm not sure that we want to say those are our goals and objectives. So I think we might want to have that conversation as well.
Aaron, can I just make a suggestion? I think it might be helpful today to kind of think through into the process. There might be kind of three buckets you might think a little bit about. One would be, what sort of background and research do you want to do or ask us to help you with or reach out to the community for? So what kind of background and grounding does the committee need to kind of proceed? Then I think the second bucket is, how are you going to use, I guess, people that, for lack of a better word, I'd describe as experts? So there's a lot of people who have a good understanding of TIF. Many of them are sitting around in this room right now. And how do you want to collect information from people who really understand the details and nuances of TIF? And then the third kind of bucket is, okay, there's a lot of people who have viewpoints on TIF who aren't necessarily experts in all the intricacies, and it's a technical subject. So what kind of process are you going to use to kind of engage people that aren't necessarily experts but have thoughts on development and growth and TIF and developers, and how are you going to engage those people? So it might be helpful to kind of structure the conversation today around background, experts, and the general public, and how you want the process to engage each of those three areas.
Thoughts on Aaron's commentary? Mark?
I wanted to just jump in on what Ed said earlier first, and then start talking about that. But I think that talking about budget policy should be part of this. Down the road at some point, I think we should get to that as one of the items to talk about. And because obviously that's come up very recently and left, I think, us with not a lot of guidelines to provide the council of how to budget for TIF. And I want to add my voice to the goal of set intent of the policy first, that we really need to talk about what the goals and objectives are before we can talk about any of the other topics and establish those. And I would argue that we should be more creative than iterative on that. In other words, not pay too much attention to what's in the current policy and really start mostly from scratch in terms of especially developing those goals and objectives, because I think they may turn out to be very different than what we have today.
Other commentary? Well, might I suggest this? I think we should, if Aaron's suggestions are a good guideline, I'd like to come up with some dates in the next couple weeks where we can start down that path. Let's say your first bucket. Who would you, Aaron, hypothetically say, you recommend speak to that first bucket?
To background and research?
Yes.
Well, I guess, you know, the question is, you know, before you start hearing from outside people on, you know, on different viewpoints, I think it does make sense to figure out what the committee needs to kind of feel grounded in the conversation. And so, you know, I kind of gave you sort of a whirlwind tour of data and potential issues that I've heard raised. But I think the question is, you know, do you want to look at the current TIF policy? Do you want more data? You know, is there other background that the committee feels like they need? To Eric's point, what's sort of the fact base you want us to assemble for you?
Well, for example, Mark said, I thought I heard Mark say to push one of Ed's points forward. I don't agree with you, Mark. Every time TIP policy is talked about that I read, it says, well, we have a budget. Why? I'm trying to understand why. I mean, it's a borrowing situation, is it not? And if you increase the asset base along with the liability and it's paid for itself, what's the... I don't understand the cap, to be perfectly frank. And I read this stuff. So I had that question. I mean, I think
you're agreeing that we need to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. But sooner rather than later is my point. I want to be sure I understand what the limitations are. Because that comes up, it was just a couple weeks ago in an article. Well, we only have a limit, but why? So I agree with you, Aaron. So if that's your point, you're saying to us, we have to come up with what information we want, right? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, one of the buckets is surely, do you want us to walk you through the current policy or other data you want? Is there other research you would ask the staff to do? Are there, do you need, I mean, there's...
Well, can I interrupt?
TIP is so technical. I mean, for example, do you want the finance director to come in and explain how TIP interacts with the levy limit?
Maybe that's
a layer too deep.
Well, look, I'm just speak up as one person. I came in on this committee at the tail end of the last discussion. I have a whole then and now. And I think it's my job to understand that. I don't want you to go back over stuff that I should read on my own and be prepared. Now, if I have a series of questions because I don't understand it, that's another matter. But I don't want to sit and spend three meetings going back over all of these things. And I kind of heard that in what you said. I hope Ed and Vicki agree with me. I think that's just, we should study that ourselves.
And I guess I don't think that's what suggesting. I think we either have the conversation now or start it. I think there's going to be things we miss and come up with later about background and sort of information that we all want to have, or we could each take a little time and send that to Peggy as a sort of compiled list. But I can think of things like, for example, we got a good perspective from Aaron on how our TIF dollars are doing in terms of new net construction. I'd like to know how our TIF dollars are doing in terms of actual job creation. How many? What do we know about how many jobs have been created and what? Some cities measure that better than others. How are we doing? I have no idea. I couldn't tell you right now. And if a neighborhood association or someone else asked me, well, what do I get for my TIP dollars? How many jobs are created? Are they paying good wages? I couldn't answer that question. I have no idea. So that's a whole bucket of questions I'd like some information about, but I can't find on my own. And Aaron may not be able to either. But to identify that, and say, here's what we need to know, to have Aaron or someone else say, here's what I would need to track in the future, or here's what I know now about it, would be helpful to me. Same thing for affordable housing. I mean, that's one of the goals of our current TIF policy, to create workforce housing. I don't know how we're doing on that at all. My guess is not well. But I don't know what it would take to do better on that front. I'd like to know what other cities are doing on that. I mean, so I think, and we mentioned this at our first conversation at our full EDC meeting, this larger question of what are some innovative examples of what other cities are doing. I just started again, and there's a lot out there. I mean, Chicago just did a major TIF reform process that sort of focused on accountability and transparency and job creation tracking. So I'd like to see a little more of what they did. But I'd like to get a handle on, are there other cities that are doing something innovative? So I mean, we could either, Joe, sort of, I'm just throwing off the top of my head the things that I'd like staff to help identify as background for us. There, I'm sure, are lots of other things that maybe we each want to take a day or two and maybe send that to Peggy of other things we'd like to know about.
Well, it helped.
But I don't think we're in that realm of things we should just have access to and understand.
No,
things
understand.
I don't know the answer to.
Yeah, I understand. Well, my question is from a process standpoint, we have to identify a date and a meeting time and an agenda, correct? And it seems to me we ought to start with the fundamental. We need to block people's time there so we can do that. And we have to do that, right? And then the question is, I think we need people's time. What's the subject matter? Vicki, you had done quite a few things, and I'm sure there's several others. So the question is, do we try today to talk about what those meetings might be, and then in the meantime identify what those issues might be, and then notify people what they're going, what's going to be on that first meeting date? Is that a way to go about it? For example, I think we ought to find out what the best practices are of these other areas. There's no question about it. I mean, why are we, if we perceive, if the mayor perceives, and if it's, I don't know if he's right or wrong, that others are doing a better job than us, why? What are they doing, and what are best practices? I'd like to hear about that, for example.
I mean, that's kind of a difficult question to answer because, you know, there's sort of two competing goals. One is to capture development and tax base, and the other is to minimize risk and, you know, public expenditures. And so the best practices in minimizing expenditures and risk might not be the best practices for capturing growth.
I understand that, but I think, don't you think we should hear what others consider best practices? No, that's true. What you say is absolutely correct.
And I think that's on my list of research background or, you know, that I would like staff's opinion on is what is the best practice, and in particular, not just Middleton and Verona. I think we're making a big mistake if we do that. I believe Chicago, or I don't know where, but it seems to me part of our problem is we know what we've done, and we know what a couple of people within 30 miles of us do, and boy, that's a terrible reason, I think, to decide policy. So I'm sure there is some national consensus on policy elements. And
you
I
are
think
sure of that?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. I mean, this is not logic science. This is policy.
Right? I'm sure there's a sort of a, you know,
well, don't you think that every community says, gee, don't we want to balance risk with gain? Is that a new question? No, that's everybody's issue. So what's a good way to do that? How do communities balance risk against gain? What's the cost-benefit analysis that communities do? How do they arrive at those answers? You know, I just think to say that we have to do that out of thin air is we're just missing the boat.
Mark?
Are there sufficient similarities in other states to laws that cities outside of Wisconsin are even useful comparisons?
I mean, they do all
my sense is no.
But it's certainly something that Joe and I and others can research. There's a lot of information out there. We're an association that provides a lot of information on how other people do TIF. So there's definitely data. You are going to find variations in the TIF law. So for example, I think it's Michigan. They really only put TIF into infrastructure. So you'll see TIF being used in that state to build roads and curb and gutter and things that we would assess for rather than pay for with TIF. They're using TIF to public improvements. It's a completely different kind of model.
Okay.
I think the best practices conversation is a really good one. I think we need to help narrow that for staff a little bit. I would hate to have them spend time just gathering. My sense, I don't think there's going to be this big consensus, and I think there's going to be a perspective and best practices recommended by sort of good jobs first type organizations nationally, and a perspective and best practices national chamber, for example, or others who have a sort of different perspective on it. I don't know if we're going to find one unified perspective. But I think if we were to say to staff, we want to know best practices in these areas, for example. We want to know, are there innovative things being done to create, you know, where cities are focusing their TIF dollars on high-quality job creation, where cities are focusing on affordable housing, where cities are focused on new net construction or whatever, right? Where they found some new, whatever they're doing, we may hate it, right? Options are in these areas, right? I think that before we dive into those priority areas, that list of five plus that we're going to add to, I'd like to know sort of what our options are. What are other communities doing? Why, you know, what do we know about why they did it? So I think we need to narrow that before we send staff off on a hunt for best practices. When you say we want to know best practices or innovations in these areas and give them a list of what those are.
Other comments from others?
I think that circles all back to what you want to do and then what can you afford to do. You basically, at the end of the end of it, you're going to find, like I think you said, you know, this Michigan, they're doing a good job with infrastructure. Well, okay, that's one of our priorities. And then, but we also want job creation. That's what, at the end of the day, we're going to have to say, what are our true priorities? What's the priority order? Maybe job creation is number two or number three. You know, so to me, it's defining what do you want to get out of this? Number one thing you got to do.
Well, I mean, I'll just tell you, my personal bias is job creation is the result of proper infrastructure and proper inputs. If that's what you start with, it's like saying, I want to make money first and figure out,
right.
Go backwards. I think it's backwards, to be frank. That's how I look at it. I just do. I mean, I think you get jobs because you do all these things right.
It is important to remember that TIP is primarily a real estate-based, it's a value-based construction.
And I would agree with that, and that's kind of why I said that, because maybe what we're doing is we're conflating different, you know, really different subjects almost, and you know, what you want to do is figure out what's the best for creating value, and some of these other things come with it, and they're not explicit in the policy either. You know, they're wished for, and they're likely outcomes, but they're maybe not explicit in the detail of the policy.
Did you wish to have? Because I don't necessarily agree with that. And I think there's some experts at the UW and in Milwaukee and other places who might have a very different perspective on how TIP could be used, or sort of what that premise is. So I'd like us at some point to have that conversation. Our job is just an outcome of TIP, and you just hope they happen, or are good jobs an explicit goal of your TIP policy? Sounds like there's some disagreement about that.
Oh, purposes,
and I think that's what you end up with.
I
agree with you. I think that's what you end up with. But I don't. I think it's a result of everything you do. I mean, that's what you end up getting.
I guess where I come at it is like, how can we keep things as simple as possible? And I think the more topics, I realize that you know there can be lots of objectives that you work in and whatever else, but if you measure them all. You have to track them over time, and if you have a policy that people want to use, and that can be manageable and everything else, you need to just distill it down to whatever the most basic parts are. You know, so how can we simplify it so that everybody understands, everyone knows exactly what it's there to do and what it's there for, and then it'll get used, and benefit will get maximized by everybody. If it's complicated, the more complicated or moving parts, the less likely it is to get used and the less useful tool it'll be, even though the intention is great all around. So, you know, we need to think about how to simplify it, make it usable.
Let me suggest that we try to do the following, and Vicki speak up here. But pick a date next week to meet, and then we give ourselves 3 or 4 days ahead of time to submit suggestions to Peggy on what we should cover. And Vicki, all those suggestions are good ones, and Ed and others, and that we decide on what those ought to be, and then invite people in to speak about them for that day. And I'm suggesting Monday afternoon next week, say at 4, or Wednesday afternoon.
Monday works.
Or for Wednesday. I personally, I prefer Monday.
Wednesday at 4.
I'm just saying late afternoon. I don't know about staff. If staff's available in the evening.
One you should keep in mind is that the Board of Estimates is meeting on the operating budget on Monday and Tuesday.
What time?
4:30.
I see. Okay. All right.
So I don't know which day they'll be doing TIF and development. Whether they'll be doing that or planning and development, economic development, but they'll be marking up our budget one of those days.
So how about Wednesday?
But not really necessarily related to the operating budget.
So how about Wednesday, the 10th?
I have a 5:30, so Wednesday, if we could meet earlier than 4, would help me.
If we said 3:30 on the 10th,
okay. I do want to echo Eric's comment that I think, you know, sort of these middle of the day, or the more middle of the day we get, the harder it is for people who aren't on their pay time.
Understood.
Understood.
So I'd like us to miss the last meeting that starts before 4. I think that'd be,
What about Thursday?
No, staff won't be available. We have local food committee.
I can't on Thursday. I can't on Thursday.
Friday? 4 is probably bad.
I think Fridays are bad.
Let's do 3:30.
Let's do 3:30 on the 10th, but in the future, say 4 o'clock. Ed's got a 5:30. You said that's the problem. Okay. So if we said 3:30 on the 10th, let's submit agenda items to Peggy, and we'll...
And Mark, and I didn't hear what was you said. That should be the first conversation we have, and I want to make sure I understood what you were saying.
The goals and intent.
Of the policy.
Right, which is what you said earlier.
Yeah.
It needs to be that's the framework for everything.
Right. I assume, Peggy, you'll get notified us, of course, with room and so forth.
Yeah, I'll find one. Is this room okay for most people?
Sure.
Or one if we have more speakers?
This is fine.
Oh, yeah, bigger one. It's small.
Kind of small. Other feedback from Matt or Jill or others, Mark? Others?
What?
Our homework is to come up with, and I'm going to come up with three things I want to be discussed. Let's be, honestly, let's say three. I think the point that Mark made about our goals and objectives are certainly is one of them.
And discuss in terms of this, are we in the three buckets or are we pre-bucket or?
I heard it as a premise. What Vicki's asking is a premise question. What's our goal?
What Mark and I were saying, it's not necessarily what our goal is as a committee.
Right.
Having this broader conversation of what are the goals
right.
and intents of TIF policies.
Right, right.
And then I think that's going to be a conversation we return to.
Well, why don't we set that meeting? Is that okay? That'll be what we'll do next week. What are the goals and objectives of TIF policy? What should they be? And I think we should invite people in to speak to that.
Yeah.
Including people from the city and maybe others.
I'd like to hear, if it's possible, to hear from staff at the beginning of that meeting, if they were asked to sort of measure how we're doing right now on the current objectives and goals as they stand, what would they say? I mean, job creation through attraction, retention, expansion of existing businesses. I don't know how we're doing on that front. How are we doing?
Fair question.
Or to identify, we have no current metrics. To tell us how we're doing on that. That would be
right. So what's the first agenda item is going to be to discuss what our goals and objectives should be, and secondly, what's the history of having measured that in the past? What's occurred versus the goals and objectives, right?
Yeah, how are we doing towards
that? I have a third item. I've heard a couple of people say, I heard Matt say it, I heard Gary say it earlier. Are we starting over? With a clean slate to come up with a policy we're comfortable with? I heard Mark say that as well. Or are we taking what we have and trying to add? I think we have to talk about that. Are we scrapping what we have and rebuilding? Or are we renovating what we have? I think we should talk about that. That's a big deal. I mean, doing one versus the other is a huge difference. Right? So three things, right?
Maybe not.
Well, ABC.
So what are the three then? The goals? Are we starting over?
And what cities measuring
right.
the prior objectives to what, what's happened? And third, are we starting over or are we editing what we have? Other comments?
Are there specific people that we want to invite or have an issue with actual invitation to come speak? Or certain ways we want to spread the word about this?
Good question. How about the mayor's office? Somebody from the mayor's office. He's pushed for this.
I mean, on that specific question, the goals.
Yes, and start over versus tinker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somebody from the mayor's office.
And probably.
Yeah. That's fine.
And probably would want to.
Huh?
Thank you, Jules.
And I would think, obviously, I would hope Joel, he's in charge of TIF, would comment on the measurement issues and the goals and objectives. Well, you're Mr. TIF, are you not?
Well, it depends who you ask. My wife wouldn't agree with that.
Other comments?
Mow the lawn.
Other comments? Well, thank you for a vigorous discussion today. Thanks for coming, everybody. We'll see everybody next week on the 8th. Pardon me?
10. Mark. Scrap. 10. Yeah, rock, paper, scissors.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks.